Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Taco Bell's chief marketing officer has revealed that he eats at the chain every other day. Explains Taco Bell's new marketing campaign, "Help, my blood feels thick."
What?
What?
Help, my blood feels thick.
Too much queso. I tell you what, it must be genetic. My brother and I, we have the same. If you get us started eating the spicy queso, just cheese and chips, from various Mexican, quote, eateries, we can't stop.
Mm.
It's fantastic. My daughter makes fun of my brother for his queso lust, but I shouldn't talk about that. I just figured something out. So earlier today, there are a handful of stories that have got me near despair for the country. And it's not like there's no hope. Because there's always hope, and the story of America is reinventing itself and rising to challenges and overcoming them and the rest of it.
Counterpoint, there is no hope.
Fair enough. But it finally, the emotion that I'm feeling crystallized in my head, and it has to do with the story we did earlier that nearly 25,000 Chinese nationals have crossed the U.S. border in the last 6 months. That's a 37,000% increase in 3 years. Gee, I wonder how that happened. Couldn't possibly be intentional by the communist Chinese. And the Biden administration and Congress, if you want to blame them too, are permitting it to happen. 25,000 nationals of our greatest geopolitical adversary crossing the border in the first 6 months of this year.
Yeah, I'm sure we have spies in China, but we have to get them in through normal means and be undercover, and the Chinese government's tracking them everywhere they go and know where they live and listening to their phones. We got all these people coming across the border. We don't have any idea where they are, not hearing anything they say.
And we don't care. Part of my feeling is, why am I bothering to care so deeply about the situation, the country, immigration, these issues, if as, quote-unquote, a country, nobody gives a damn? And the idea of importing that many nationals of our greatest geopolitical adversary and thinking something terrible isn't going to happen, I mean, it's beyond idiotic. I lack the vocabulary to describe how obvious it is that, of course, something bad's going to happen. It has to.
I wonder if ISIS-K is going to blow up something and the Chinese spies are going to say, damn it, we were going to do that.
We were going to blow that up. The right metaphor dawned on me. I was talking about a loved one or a friend who just kept going back on drugs. No, it's the situation where you've got a buddy who jumps off of cliffs in those squirrel suits.
Oh,
and he does it right. Over and over again. When you call me and tell me he died, I'm not going to say, oh, no, no. I'm going to say, of course he did. I'm at that point.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to be that stupid, unpatriotic, selfish, short-sighted, greedy, whatever's motivating all this crap. Of course you're going to perish in your squirrel suit. And I'm not going to grieve. I'm going to miss you, maybe. But I'm not going to act like it's a tragedy. It was you invited it. And I'm talking about my own beloved country here. I don't know whether to stand on my head and poop wood nickels or move into the woods and live like a bear. I just don't know. I don't know what to do.
That first trick would be cool. I'd pay to see that.
If only. All right, I've got to change the topic or I'll go nuts. I found this so interesting.
1920. There's a whole dollar. Counting the wooden nickels.
Of course, keep in mind, folks, they're worthless. They're made of wood. Let's see. Where were we? Separate occasions and reasons, but the same week, both Elon Musk, no introduction required, and Jamie Dimon, the head of JP Morgan Chase, who they both made statements about AI and what they thought AI was going to do or be or what have you. And I guess Jamie Dimon puts out this yearly newsletter that's super anticipated by everybody on Wall Street and
the Diamond Mines.
I don't know that it has a clever name, but
it should.
He writes about all that, and that one's not bad. Spelled differently, but that's what makes it clever. Anyway, so they both put out statements about AI that I found to be intriguing. So Musk said in an interview, quote, my guess is that we'll have AI that is smarter than any one human probably around the end of next year.
What?
Yeah.
We'll have Diamond, AI smarter than any individual human by the end of next year.
Yes. There are caveats. There are parentheses involved. But there are a number of quotes here. Jamie Dimon said, quote, he said that AI could be as transformative as some of the major technological inventions over the past several hundred years. He said, think the printing press, the steam engine, electricity, computing, the internet, among others.
Wow, electricity, because it was, who was it that said it's bigger than fire or electricity?
I think Sundar Pichai, yeah. The Google CEO,
yeah.
Who we'll get to in a second.
Holy crap.
He said AI might lead future generations to work only 3.5 days a week.
What they do with
the rest of their time and their purpose
I don't know how you toss off those statements like that when I hear people toss off those statements. What? You can't not follow that up with which is going to be the biggest disruption to humankind in world history, and we need to figure out how we're going to handle that. You can't just say that.
It's a complete restructuring of human life, yes. But people don't say that.
It's like saying, I think people will be invisible by next year. In other news.
Right. A cold front is moving through. Yeah. Yeah. The AI race to build the next big thing has sparked a talent war in Silicon Valley. They get into how salaries are soaring and that sort of thing. Then they quote Vinod Khosla, who's the founder of a venture capital firm that is involved in AI ventures. He says, within 10 years, AI will take on 80% of the jobs that exist today. I thought that was interesting. That's a more nuanced take, and I appreciate it. That 80% of the jobs you can picture, a significant chunk of the work will be taken on by AI, and you will have a person who manages the AI doing 80% of the productivity.
A couple hours a week. So if he's wrong by double, if it was 40% of 40% of the jobs, it would be human changing.
Oh, yeah, it would disrupt societies to an extent we can't even picture. Yeah. Well, because if the number of humans it takes to achieve a certain level of productivity becomes that small, and yes, we are more than familiar with the history of predictions of the cotton gin will cause mass unemployment or whatever.
Jazz. Remember when I read all those predictions of how jazz was going to ruin the world?
And it has. We both happen to think AI is fundamentally different because of not a technology, it is intelligence. But anyway, even if it's half that, it'll be incredibly disruptive, and then you'll have the wealth produced by that productivity in fewer and fewer hands, and to feed and clothe the masses of people for whom there is no work to do. I actually think reproductive rates will fall off even further in the developed world. And the third world will take over with guns and knives. Anyway,
that period in
ask me about that over a drink sometime.
That period in between is going to be really weird.
Oh, you think? Yeah, it's going to be absolutely crazy. A couple more quotes that I found intriguing. This is, again, Mr. Khosla. The need to work in society will disappear within 25 years for those countries that adapt these technologies.
The need to work is going to disappear within 25 years. So my kids will be in their 30s, 40s, and there will be no need to work.
Every psychologist worthy of his or her degree will tell you living a life of purpose is the road to happiness.
Yeah, this is the great breakdown on this whole topic, because I have friends who believe, like some of you nut jobs do, in my opinion, that that'll be the greatest period ever for humankind. We'll be able to flourish with arts and literature, and that ain't what's going to happen. Is that what every rich kid who doesn't have to work for a living does, is becomes a great piano player or artist or poet? Or
great illustration.
Do they drug themselves to death and crash a car?
Yeah, they crash a BMW into a river. Exactly. What a great illustration. Well played. One more thought from this venture capital guy who is financing a lot of this. I already said that. Sorry. The technology has also led to stark warnings about the future of humanity. That's funny that this Wall Street Journal writer, who's doing a very nice job in this article, and I'm sure they're a nice person, they thought that was a change in topic to stark warnings. The need to work in society will disappear within 25 years. That is a warning. If you understand human psychology.
God, anybody who doesn't react to that with holy S. You're built different than I am. Or you have a really fanciful view of human nature.
Intelligence and wisdom are so unrelated in a lot of cases. Anyway, I've got a few more for you. Earlier this week, Japan's largest telecommunications company and the country's biggest newspaper, they got together and wrote this manifesto, this editorial, that cautioned that unless AI is restrained, good luck. Quote, in the worst case scenario, democracy and social order could collapse, resulting in wars.
Well, that's a worst case scenario. Democracy and social order collapses.
Some experts say predictions of AI's transformative powers have been overblown. Gary Marcus, cognitive scientist who sold an AI startup in 2016, said AI may one day approach a level where it can transform society, but there has to be vast improvements to approach the level of change people are talking about.
I hope he's right.
He thinks it'll mostly be a useful tool for a very, very long time. I hope he's right, yeah.
Most people don't agree with him.
Yes.
There are more people, a lot of people disagree with him, and then that crowd is split into this will be a disaster for humankind, or this will be the great flourishing of humankind that everybody's ever dreamed of all their lives. I think they're nuts to think that.
Yeah, one final irony, if I might. It's so interesting that all of the people being quoted in these articles are so driven by a sense of purpose to develop AI that they work ungodly amounts of time with unimaginable energy and harness unfathomable resources to achieve goals. And then they say, and when we're done, nobody will have any goals at all. And they'll be happy.
Wow.
Hey, look in the mirror, folks.
Wow, that is really insightful.
So what
gets you out of bed every morning? Accomplishing this so you can become wealthy. So just having a enough to get by without accomplishing anything doesn't sound like an enjoyable life to you because you're killing yourself to try to have more money and accomplish something. Think about that for a second.
These would be the first guys who'd have a gun in their mouth.
Right, because they're miserable.
Right.
Wow. What do you think? Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So was that Monday? Had the coordinated protests all across the country. Pro-Palestine protests, New York, Florida, small towns, big towns, all over the place. The one that got the most attention was San Francisco because it took them 5 hours to get people off of the Golden Gate Bridge, and everybody in the whole country was saying, it's in Florida. They got them off there in like 30 seconds. Why did it take 5 hours? You disrupted one of the most popular bridges in America. You disrupted traffic for 5 hours. Well, Katie Green's got the details as we're now learning what happened.
Well, the reason it took so long is because these jackasses ran cylinder pipes through sand barrels and then ran rebar through the pipes to secure them. And then poured cement over said pipes in said sand barrels to secure it even more. So it required, get this, CHP has a disentanglement team that had to come out with jackhammers, saws, and drills to get these guys out.
Can they work on my personal life? Hey, now.
Oh.
Get it.
You know, let me throw on some hiking boots, and I'll be your disentanglement team. Swift kick to the arse. Am I wrong? So what you need to picture, though, is that so they stick their arms through these tubes, then they grab on to the rebar. So right. They're physically holding on to the rebar, these idiots.
If you're a parent, you may have had a child do this at some point, hanging on to something, and you had to peel their fingers off so you could do whatever you're going to do.
Exactly. So it was prying their fingers off of this rebar.
So shall we enjoy the audio? And then we will interpret it having watched the video for you.
Let go of the bar. Let go of the bar.
Stop.
Let go of the bar.
My hand.
Let go of the bar.
Stop squeezing my hand. The rebar is cutting the inside of my hand. Stop prying my finger.
The bar.
Stop prying. Stop. Stop. Stop.
Let go of the rebar.
Stop. You are hurting me.
Let go of the rebar.
He's free.
First of all, it's a pretty ingenious invention by whoever scumbag protester came up with that barrel of cement with a hole in it. You stick your arm through, grab it. I mean, that's pretty clever stuff.
So, two things. One, they're barely touching him in that video.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like he's dying, barely being touched.
Oh, I know. And some of the time he's screaming, oh, you're hurting me. You're hurting. They're not touching him at all.
Right. At all. And two, did you notice how he resorted to screaming in chants? Stop.
No.
Squeezing my hand. Stop squeezing my hand.
Is that the only way those people can talk?
That's all he could do.
Trying to get the crowd to go along with him.
Chant
with him.
All right, maybe that's it. You know, if you cuffed him in the ear, he'd probably let go. Whack, right on the ear.
Kicking the ass, cuffing the ear. Let's not fight over this. There are many available methods. So what? This is a great illustration of what I was talking about the other day that these activists do. They put you, normal people, society, in a situation where you have to apply violence or something they can portray as violence. And so he was screaming, oh, my God, you're squeezing me. You're hurting me. Even when he wasn't being touched for the purpose of the video so they could make it look like the, you know, white supremacist, patriarchal, cisgender monster system was oppressing him.
They want to look, make it look like Birmingham with dogs and hoses the best they can, but they're not pulling it off.
What I love about this video is that it's being taken from the angle of the workers who are releasing this guy's hand. So he doesn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
You can totally see he's not being touched at all.
Right.
While screaming bloody
murder.
That
is so pathetic, dude.
I'm reminded of the ancient parental saying, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Yeah, right.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Walk along the river, sweet little band. It just keep on flowing. It don't worry about where it's going.
Oh, my God. That is so good. That is Dickie Betts singing lead singer on and guitar player on that Blue Sky from the Allman Brothers, and he just died, or it was announced that he died at the age of 80. If you're a guitar player or a fan of the Allman Brothers, oh, my God. Doesn't get any better than that.
Dickie Betts is one of those guys, I would listen to him sing the phone book, and I would listen to him play Mary Had a Little Lamb all day. He was just so great at both.
Crank that up, Michael. That is so good. Would you just play the whole song and go home? Man, and I saw this. For some reason, I don't know if I can make it through without tearing up. I saw them do this song in Charlotte, and when he sang the Going to Carolina and everybody cheered, it was just, oh, what a great concert moment that was. And his guitar play, he was a jazz guitar player, and he fitted into country rock, but, oh. Dwayne Allman's been dead for 40 years? 50 years? 50 years.
Yeah.
But Dickie Betts now dead.
If you're not an aficionado, listen to Ramblin' Man. That's another Dickie song that he sang and played lead on. Of course, yeah, wow. Dedicate the rest of the day to trying to learn how to sing like Dickie Betts. It's going to be annoying to anyone who comes anywhere near me, but...
He had some good solo stuff, too, with Great Southern.
Oh, I need to look into that.
Yeah. This is the funniest thing I've come across in a while, polling. There's all this. I don't know who did this poll. They've got all the regular questions between Biden and Trump and then silly ones. They've got all the regular questions, and, you know, we won't bore you with those. You're going to hear those plenty between now and November. Polling data suggests that voters think Donald Trump would outperform Joe Biden in a game of Monopoly.
Okay.
And that one is...
I would agree.
Sober question compared to this one.
Of course, Donald Trump wouldn't pay the guy who sold him Park Avenue until he was so sued. You'd have to have a new lawyer card or something.
What is this little green or red hotel? I want a gold hotel. You don't have gold hotels? A majority of voters think Donald Trump would do better than Joe Biden in a fight against a medium-sized dog.
Well, that's clearly true. I mean, I don't love either of their chances, but yes, Trump, clearly.
Well, as I said here in the dispatch, Joe Biden's had more experience with fighting medium-sized dogs, though, as he's had several.
Ooh. Right, certainly. But Trump could whip off his tie and fashion a leash real quick.
In a hot dog eating contest, 58% of voters say Donald Trump would perform better, only 13% for Biden.
Yeah, that's a no, please. Scoop it in a vanilla scoop of chocolate.
Those are all there are those questions, but that seems like plenty. The medium-sized dog is the best one. I've never heard that. I haven't thought about that with me or any of my friends or like any famous people who would win in a fight with a medium-sized dog. And now who wants to get into a fight with a dog anyway?
Well, right. I assume they asked on all sorts of dog categories, but let's not get bogged down.
Right.
You know, it's important you laugh to keep from going crazy during these troubled times.
Found that somewhat distracting, that poll. We got a number of texts I wanted to get to, a couple of them. First of all, the term midwit came up earlier.
That is it's
an actual word in the Urban Dictionary. Someone who is around average intelligence, but is so opinionated and full of themselves that they think they're some kind of genius. That's a midwit. I love that word. I'll start using it.
Basically a pseudo-intellectual plagued by imposter syndrome. Like that the Maher woman, the new woke neo-Marxist CEO of...
My name's Catherine Maher.
In NPR, who used the word... what was the word that got me? Intentionality. Twice, like in 60 seconds. Who uses that word at all? A midwit does.
Yeah. We got this. I've been complaining for a couple of days with the media's need to call people like Marjorie Taylor Greene ultra-conservatives, or the very conservative Marjorie Taylor Greene will not support this Ukraine funding. She's not conservative. I don't know what the right label is for her, but... quit portraying that as conservative, and the more you are of that, you are more conservative. That is not what it means.
Right, that's absurd. Chip Roy is a conservative. Marjorie Taylor Greene is not, for instance.
And it's not doing us any favors to allow that to happen or to go along with it.
Do you think that's just the standard sloppiness, or do you think they are taking glee at portraying the nuttiest members of Congress as the most conservative?
Well, I can tell you, I've listened to some pretty high-level, these are not midwits, like high-level intellectual poli-sci type people discussing this, and the terms liberal and conservative have moved so much over the centuries in lots of different directions, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people use the word liberal back at the founding fathers' days, that meant property rights, you know, personal freedom. That's what liberal meant. If you just said liberal. Now, if somebody just says liberal, you mean probably transgender bathrooms and stuff like that.
The last thing progressives are is liberal.
So, to be fair, the words do change a lot. And I heard Jonah Goldberg and somebody else discussing on a podcast how conservative has changed. And so we need to stop using it because it has become, the way liberal has become about nutty stuff, conservative has become about nutty stuff. And I don't know what word we should use, but that word is done. It's been ruined or something. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but most of the time when it's used talking about somebody who's ultra conservative or very conservative, that's the last thing they are. I'd say like always when I hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so you've got the difficulty of the changing of meanings and times coupled with the utter dishonesty and no lack of desire to be honest of the major media, which is one of the themes of that monster Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS character who's now running NPR. Is she has openly stated, look, the truth is just inconvenient. Stop looking for it. We're not here for that.
Well, all these words have always had problems and labels get very, very difficult. And if you want to learn more about this or like get confused really fast, look up conservative in Wikipedia or libertarian or whatever and see the 80 different flavors of each that you can come up with a name for if you want to. And then try to decide what you are or what you want to call yourself. I'm a fan of George Will of the Washington Post, who's always been really big on calling himself an American conservative because what you're conserving is the American founding. And those particular ideals, as opposed to Putin's a conservative in Russia. Am I in favor of Putin being he wants to conserve what was the Soviet Union. I'm not for conservative. The people in Tehran, they're conservatives. They want to conserve the theocracy. I'm not for conserving that either. It depends on what you're trying to conserve.
Oh, well said. Yeah, I love that term, American conservative. I will use that. I will adopt that.
Anyway, we got this text. You're being upset about Marjorie Taylor Greene being labeled conservative is the same thing as the libs of TikTok being and calling every radical crazy ass who supports Hamas a liberal when all real liberals understand what Hillary and Bill said about Hamas and that the people in the streets are just a really bad word I'm not going to say, not liberals. So, yeah, it does work both ways.
Yeah, granted. It's funny, I'm of two minds on this rather egg-headed discussion. On the one hand, I've always believed that labels are for soup cans and generally are used more to attack people than to describe people. At the same time, though, I can't, like, if I'm describing the woman from NPR, I can't give a 10-minute summary of her views every time she comes up.
Yeah, you have to have labels. So, yeah, anytime somebody says, I don't believe in labels, okay, well, then how are we going to have a conversation? I mean, this is going to be really, really difficult.
Well, it's going to be like the Lincoln-Douglas debates. It's going to be, I talk for 3 hours, then you talk for 3 hours, then we each get a two-hour rebuttal.
But I don't like anybody to refer to me as a conservative because I feel like, depending on the audience, a whole bunch of baggage comes with that you can't ascribe to me. Some of it you can. Well, we need to get into the particulars.
Right.
So it's difficult from that standpoint. I had another ultimate point about this, but I don't remember what it was. Maybe I'm a midwit. Maybe that's my problem.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, those of you busily crafting texts and emails, yeah, you two jackasses want to talk about midwits. You ought to. No, don't bother. We already know what you're going to write.
We got this text earlier. A libertarian is a conservative without a moral compass, which is a common thing you hear people say.
I don't agree, but I understand the point. You know, that's when, well, never mind. Now I'm really getting egg-headed. Sometimes the best thing you can do is hear something you don't agree with because it's another side. It's going to the other side of your beliefs to take a look. And it strengthens them. It fortifies them. It changes them sometimes. But the idea that this monster, and I am not kidding, I am not trying to be exciting or hyperbolic, this monster at NPR who is insisting that there can be no truth, and so we will tell you what the truth is. Seeking the truth gets in the way of accomplishing things. She is an apostle for not examining ideas and merely sucking down propaganda. And it's horrible. Nothing could be worse. Without free speech, may we be swept, taken like as sheep to the slaughter, said George Washington.
We kind of have some breaking news on a story that I misunderstood earlier. So as of yesterday, 7 jurors had been seated in the Stormy Daniels hush money case. 7 of 12. And the judge said, going to start the trial on Monday. We're now down to 5. When I mentioned earlier that someone had been dismissed, it was one of the seated jurors who said, I'm afraid they're going to put my name out there. So that person was dismissed. Now they've just dismissed a second one. I don't know why yet. But so now you're down to 5 seated jurors. I'm thinking the trial ain't starting on Monday. The longer it's drug out, the longer Trump has to sit in that courtroom. I do know that.
Yeah, they're looking for 12 plus 12, aren't they? 12 jurors and 12 alternates.
Yeah. You know, they got five total. Ain't going to make it. No way.
I wouldn't think so.
Thursday, according to my calendar. They don't go through the weekend, do they?
No. Justice is a Monday through Friday proposition, Jack.
No justice on Saturdays.
Justice goes to its son's soccer game on Saturday and to church to pray on Sunday.
Right. Maybe drinks a little, has a pizza. That's what justice does on a Saturday night.
Lady Justice has a couple of pops and lifts that robe up, shows a little knee.
What?
Hey, she's got to live a little.
Maybe you put the blindfold on her because it turns you on for some reason. I don't know.
Maybe you take the blindfold, whatever. Hey, it's none of our business. But anyway, yes, Justice takes a break on the weekend.
We will finish strong next.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Updating my car. By the way, it's been updating for the past 30 minutes. It says it's only supposed to update for 24 minutes. And when your car is updating, you are stuck in your car if you activate it when you're in here. So I did that, and now I'm stuck in my car, literally dripping sweat. Inside my car, it's 103 degrees. So I'm slightly freaking out. I hope I don't like run out of air. I can't open up the doors or the windows. Otherwise, I could potentially damage my car. So I'm just stuck in here roasting like a freaking chicken. So yeah, I will be stuck in my car until further notice.
Frickin' Chicken is the new Dickie Betts style tribute instrumental I'll be writing later today.
Right. She got stuck in her Tesla updating the software. Well, don't do that while you're in the car or trying to drive, I guess. But I think you can just X out of it if you want. Maybe you can't. I don't know. I wouldn't want to roast in my car and not be able to open the doors.
Like a frickin' chicken.
Right. Somebody said they're seating 6 alternates in the Trump trial. So, but they
thank
still
you for
the
clarification.
Mm-hmm. You still got to come up with 18, and they got 5 so far. Ian Bremmer tweeted out something I just found amusing. I'd like to know what this was from, but he said, surely the most annoying people you meet. One of the reasons I like to read the New York Times, the news is good, but you get into some of the lifestyle stuff is just unintentionally hilarious.
I mean, oh, yeah.
The lifestyle of some of the rich elite in Manhattan is just...
The level of self-satisfaction is astonishing.
Well, Ryan, some of the headlines and the things they talk about, I think 90% of your readers are mocking this and think you're pathetic. I mean, I realize some of your Upper West Side people agree with you. How to handle when your favorite restaurant closes or something, you know, something like that. Just whatever. But this one is pretty good.
Stop going there. I'd start there.
This one's pretty good, and it's got a picture of this really nice-looking place. They love their $14.95 million Hamptons house. The problem? Their dog hates it.
Good, you're kidding. I almost used a truly unfortunate expression that includes an obscenity.
And underneath it, the little subheadline is Brian Grable and Daniel Dokas. Okay, so I wouldn't want my names attached to this. Two dudes, a couple of gay guys. Okay, fine. Brian Grable and Daniel Dokas built their dream home in Sag Harbor, but are now selling it because their golden doodle Rufus gets pouty when he's there.
Oh, that is art. Do you making this up? STFU. Come on.
Admit me in chorus to this history. Who, prologue-like, your humble patience pray, gently to hear, kindly to judge, the final thoughts of Armstrong and Getty.
They built their dream home, but their dog hates it. Boy, don't let them read that in Ukraine.
That is 24-karat gold bull-ass.
Here's your host for Final Thoughts, Joe Getty.
Let's get a final thought from everybody on the crew to wrap things up for the day. There he is, our technical director, Michelangelo. Michael.
The most troubling thing we heard today was that AI might be smarter than humans within a year. That means a lot of low-level jobs are going to disappear, and they're disappearing really fast.
Yeah, absolutely true. Katie Green, our esteemed newswoman, has a final thought. Katie?
I just got this regarding the protesters on the Golden Gate Bridge. SFDA Brooke Jenkins is asking those who were trapped on the bridge to come forward and help her file false imprisonment charges.
No.
Whatever. No. Doomed. Jack, final thought?
My final thought is around the one Michael mentioned, that AI will be smarter than the smartest human within a year. Somebody pointed out on the text line, we're racing toward each other. People are getting dumber while AI gets smarter, and we'll meet at some point.
Yeah, good point. My final thought is, I don't care if you're a liberal or a progressive, conservative or a Democrat, whatever. If your uncle was eaten by cannibals, you have my sympathy, and I grieve with you.
Don't let your dog decide whether or not your new dream house is okay.
That headline slash subhead was exquisite. It was the Mona Lisa of that sort of thing.
Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
I don't know whether to vomit or dance with delight. So many people to thank, so little time. Go to armstrongandgetty.com for the hot links. Drop us a line. Pick up some swag, huh?
We will see you tomorrow. God bless America.
Armstrong and Getty.
Stop!
Okay. Are you shitting
me? It's so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful.
So bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying?
I cannot understand a word you're saying.
So let's go out with a bang.
I don't know whether to stand on my head and poop wood nickels or move into the woods and live like a bear. I don't know what to do.
That first trick would be cool. I'd pay to see that.
On that high note, thank you all very much.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.